Well, please, I want to encourage you to turn in the Word of God again to our scripture reading, this time taken from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10. There's a lot going on in this passage. I'm just going to pull out a few truths for hopefully your edification tonight. Well, let's read the Word of God first, and then we'll listen to His Word again through the preaching. Hear now the word of the Lord. After this, the Lord Jesus appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as much as I'm going to be preaching to you, and there are a lot of things I could or couldn't say, I don't want you to miss the imagery that's right here in the scriptures tonight. Jesus, when he's sending out his disciples out into the mission field, he says that the harvest is plentiful, that it's plentiful. And if you've ever watched a movie, or perhaps like me, you grew up on a farm where you planted crops and you watched them grow and you watched it mature, and you came to that point at the end of the season when that corn was golden brown and it was ready to get into that field, to combine it, to harvest it off, and just that expectation that it's there and it's time to harvest. You have a little bit of appreciation for the way that Jesus views not a corn crop or whatever field it might be, but how he views the world as a place where there is a harvest to be gathered, and he sends workers into that field to gather that harvest in. And so I want to look at a few truths with you from this passage tonight. Five, in fact. I want to look at five truths with you. And I'll start with the first truth that we see from this script, from this passage that's coming out tonight. The first truth is that God's harvest, God's mission, is not the work of one man. It's not. Salvation is the work of one man. And if you were going to hear the gospel, this would be the wonderful place to put it, right? Salvation is the work of one man, Jesus Christ, who ultimately at the end of his life was left alone and died and suffered for us, for our sanctification, for our justification, for our redemption, for our eternal hope. Everything of our salvation all lands on his shoulders as the only one who could save us. And salvation is all of Jesus. Amen. Okay? But understand that mission is the work of all of us. It's the work of all of us. In John chapter 20, Jesus even says to his disciples before he leaves, he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. I'm sending you." And if you even go to Acts chapter 1, when Jesus is about to depart and to ascend into heaven, his disciples' first question is, "Are you going to end all time now?" That's essentially what they say. Are you going to return the kingdom to Israel? Is this the end of time? And Jesus says, "That's not for you to know." And instead of saying a time of when the end will come, he says how the end will come. He says that you will be my witnesses, both here in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That was Jesus' plan, to send out workers into that field. And Jesus then sends his followers out in Luke chapter 10 to go out two by two, to go out and to do his work. One important thing for you to remember, especially those of you who are ordained to this office, this is not a one-man show. Jesus is a one-man show. right? It's all about Jesus, all praise and honor to Him. But when it comes to ministry, we work together in the Lord. Again, nobody's going out one by one here, are they? Two by two they go out. Together they go out. Together they work. Together you work. If it's all about you, this is not the place for you to be. In eldership, in deacon, in church life for that matter, it doesn't matter where you're at. This is not about you. This is about us. Us working for the Lord, us doing His work. Notice then that not only is it only not about just one of us, but us going out, notice that even those who go out are not going out on their own authority. They're going out because they've been sent by somebody, by Jesus. They've been sent out by Jesus as His apprentices. You have to imagine, these are the people who've been watching Him in His ministry up to this point, seeing what He's been doing, watching Him heal the sick, watching Him as He's preaching the Word of God. Now it's their turn to go out and to do the same thing. So here's my encouragement too. When you hear that God's mission is not the work of one man, salvation is, keep your eye on the one about whom salvation is all about. If you're going to want to lead the congregation or lead anyone, follow the leader who is the ultimate one that we ought to follow, Jesus Christ. Even Paul says in one place, he says, imitate me even as I imitate Christ. Right? I was thinking about that tonight as I was driving here. It was dark, it was rainy. It was hard to see the road. Sometimes the lines are really dull on the road, and maybe it's my sight. I don't really know what's going on. But anyway, you know, you're driving. It's so much more nice to have somebody who's in front of you, who, by the way, isn't going too slow, but is getting up on good speed, who kind of knows the route, so you're not wondering where that next turn is. You're following them. The same thing goes for running. If you've ever run, how nice it is when you're not running by yourself, but when somebody is setting a pace for you. Jesus sets the pace for us, and as elders and deacons, He sets the pace for you so that you can set the pace for others. So that when you're talking about the Word of God, when you're bringing words of comfort and healing, it's not about you, it's about the one who sent you. Right? These disciples going out, we're bringing a message of the kingdom. We're bringing a message of Jesus. Thank you for, you know, again, it's all about Jesus. It's always going back to Him again and again and again, because the mission work is not the work of one man. It's the mission of Jesus Christ, and we are a part of that, and we get to go out and to bring that out there. The harvest, again, is not the work of one man. Second truth, then, that you see here, not only is the mission not only that of one man, it's all of us. Secondly, Jesus sends out all of us because the mission field is vast. The mission field is vast. One of the truths of this that you can kind of come and understand this is how many men it takes that Jesus sends out. I mean, if you do the math here real quick, what is this, 36 pairs of guys that are going out from Jesus into different places? That's Jesus, and now there's 36 groupings, you know, 72, going out into the mission field and doing the work that's there. Again, if you need another, again, evidence of how vast this mission field is that Jesus is partaking of, notice that Jesus, in His own ministry, gets tired. Remember those times? You think, whoa, Pastor, you said Jesus, the Son of God, gets tired? Yeah, He gets tired. Remember when He fell asleep in a boat? Right, and His disciples were worried and afraid. He was tired from working ministry. He was engaged in it. Remember other times He would sit up on a hill and pray all night? He's engaged in the work of the Lord. He is not able to engage 100% of His time in the work of our lives. It's so much. It's a lot. Again, even Jesus in His human form is only able to be in one place at one time speaking to a group of people of certain sizes. He can't be everywhere. And if you ever think about it, when Jesus lives and dies and then goes to heaven, the only part of the world He affected was a small percentage of the world and the world population. So again, if you look at the world that Jesus is affecting and everything that's going on around there, the mission field is vastly bigger than this world that you're seeing that Jesus is interacting with. And that's okay, because again, once you get a little bit farther when Jesus ascends, guess what He's doing? He's sending out more people to go out and to bring in His word. So again, the mission field is vast. All I have to do, though, to make this point is for you to at least look around you for a second. Okay, Pompton Plains, I used to know a little bit better than I know it now, but it's a crowded place, full of people. Guess what? People who have needs. You don't think that they have a heart for Jesus? You don't think that they're seeking for things in their life to replace that if they don't have Him? Of course they are. How many of you in this congregation tonight are struggling, are pressing, are being pressed by opposition, the devil, your own flesh, all of this? Oh, how it would be nice that someone would come into your life, gather themselves and next to you and pay set for you. But guess what? There is a lot of needs in even this church, if we're being honest, right? As much as we might say that we want to be God's gift to men, to women, whatever it might be, we're pretty messed up people in many ways, in many of our... And this is part of God's answer then, to put men to help, to speak the word of God to you. Again, to come up alongside you. You can even see this, that when these disciples would come into these places, they wouldn't just kind of simply have this conversation or say to people, hey, you want to follow Jesus? Here, sign on the dotted line, get your signature on here. Ah, we got a new follower for Jesus. But they're getting involved into people's homes, and they're getting inside, and they're eating their food, and they're having conversations with them, and they're speaking to them of the name of Jesus Christ. That's one of the things, some of the things that as elders you get to do when you go on house visits, or you deacons get to do when you go visit up with people who are in need. Go and speak to them. Meet with them in their homes. Talk to them. When people are questioning or have questions about Jesus, go meet with them. Have a conversation with them. Eat with them. Fellowship with them. That's what is going on right here, right now. Again, I'll just make this note, move on. But again, in terms of knowing that there's a lot of work to do, it's hopefully going to keep you humble, brothers, sisters, too, when you're engaged in works where you're at, to understand that you can easily burn yourself out in this ministry. I live in the ministry with men who burn out. That's part of our pastoral challenge. And one of the realities that you have to understand is that the work is so much. And you have to admit at some point your own infirmities as a man, but you also have to admit that the strength that you have has to come from the Lord. And to trust that He's going to provide for you. And if you're going too far, back off. Maybe you're engaging into this ministry and you see the cornfield out there and you're like, I can do this. And you start harvesting one ear of corn. Guess what? If you've ever gone into the Midwest and seen how big those fields are, I don't care how long you spend out there. It will be a decade before you even begin to take part of that field out by hand. It's too much work. But if you have a lot of people, any one of you knows, when you have a lot of people, the work goes much faster. That's a part of what, again, it's recognized here, that the mission field is vast. Pressing on, third truth that you see here is there is so much to do and there are simply enough workers to do this. And Jesus says here that there's a solution to this. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest. The truth that we need to understand thirdly is that there are not enough workers. There are just simply not enough. What is the answer to do then? It's to pray. Pray. Get down on your knees and pray. Pray that the Lord would send out workers. Pray that the men would, or that the Lord would, rise up men who would lead the Church of Jesus Christ, who would be under shepherds of the Church of Jesus Christ. One of the encouraging things that I remember very much growing up was how there were pastors who would pray for that. That there would be men that would be risen up to preach the word, that there would be men who would be risen up that take a responsibility to be elders and deacons. It's not always the easy thing to find that, to find qualified men to serve in those positions. And so maybe part of the prayer is not only having men who recognize this call, but praying for the truth that the young boys in this congregation would grow up in Jesus Christ and become men. That might be part of that prayer. Obviously, there are enough warm bodies in here. But, you know, it takes a certain kind of caliber, a certain kind of quality of faithfulness and of consistency and of honesty and of spiritual integrity. Again, being faithful in your marriages, being faithful in your friendships, being, again, having a name that is honored even among Gentiles and the pagans. Again, there's a certain quality of life that's being asked from those who Jesus calls to come and to serve him. And that is not something that we do by ourselves. Just not. So again, when you think of things to pray for, pray that there'd be those who would come up. Pray that there'd be people who would mature, whether that's men, whether that's women, by the way. I'm not talking about office here. I'm talking about being faithful mothers, being faithful workers, being faithful volunteers, being faithful in whatever place the Lord has put you. That is a place of ministry as well. And again, I challenge you to understand that when the Lord calls leaders, he's doing it to equip you to faithfully discharge what he's given you, to use your talents for his service. So again, we're praying that there would be workers who would be put out into that field. And again, whether that be elders, pastors, deacons, missionaries, contractors, mothers, fathers, it does it. All of these places, all of these situations, all of these are opportunities to serve the Lord. I will also say this, at the same time, when you are an elder, I thought I would make this note, so I'm going to make it because I try to keep my word when I can. I'm sorry when I don't. But I'll just say this, I believe very much, and I'm taking a page out of the Presbyterians here, once you're called to be an elder, you're always an elder. Once you're called to be a deacon, you're always a deacon. You might get a sabbatical. I grant you that. Absolutely. Take one. Enjoy that. But how can you have your heart, have your finger on the pulse of the congregation, see the needs in the church, see what's going on, and then because you're not serving, I don't care anymore? Of course you do. Again, when you have the heart of Jesus Christ, you always care. That's some of the problem. You know, when you're serving for Jesus Christ, you can't help but care. You can't help but love the congregation. So again, when there's someone who needs help, serve. When there's a place that needs loving, again, when there's someone who's struggling, meet with them, eat with them, talk with them. Again, don't just say that, well, I'm not in that position anymore. Yes, you are. Take up that opportunity. Again, no matter where you're at, yes, please. Again, see that there are just not enough workers, so pray. And I urge all of you to be in prayer. So again, the mission is not work of one person, but of all of us, especially for those who God has called to be in the leadership position. Yes, the mission field is vast, so we have to pray for workers. And the fourth truth is, Jesus calls the workers. Jesus calls the workers. It's as good as time for me to say this. Christ does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Far too many of us have a wrong perspective of the scriptures where we think all of these people are heroes and just always got everything perfect and never faltered, never failed, never did anything wrong. Have you read your Bible? Right? Do you remember what Adam did? What? Oh, yeah, the sin of the whole world. There you go, right? He was called by God to love him. How about Noah? Right? Got drunk? How about Abraham? He lied. Isaac lied. Jacob was a deceiver. What about Judah? Oh, how about Reuben? All of those brothers, Simeon, Levi, all the things that they did. Remember Moses? Killed a guy. David? Murdered. Committed adultery. Lied. Cheated. By the way, before you think, but Pastor, all the people Jesus called, they were good guys. Peter? Remember him? He denied Jesus? Judas? Did you forget about Judas? Yeah, he's there too. I don't recommend what he did. He betrayed Jesus, but he's there. So again, realize very much that when you're called to this office, I hear so many times from people, that's just not my thing. I just don't have, again, the qualifications and whatever. I'm like, you're perfect. You're perfect. That's exactly what God wants. Because notice that when it's not all about you, when you come into the office of elder, deacon, Christian, whatever it is, and it's not all about you, that keeps you humble. And when you're humble, guess what? God uses you. Oh, he uses you grandly, mightily for his kingdom, as anyone in the scriptures can show you who were broken and human, just like you. The only person who was ever perfect was Jesus. And the rest of us, we're not. which means that we are human and we can be human as we follow Jesus. Even Paul has to say, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice this then, brothers, especially if you've been called to office. There's already going to be this kind of portrayal that people are going to put on you. You're an elder. Oh, we know you're high up. Now, I know some of you guys. I just know you too well that if they think that, they're just wrong because you're very down to earth, and I love that. Same thing with the deacons as well. But sometimes when you're young, kids look up at you and they think, oh, he's an elder, right? Or he's a pastor. He's a pastor. He must really have it. Or the deacon. Guess what? What a lie. Jesus has it, and he makes me beautiful. But in myself, I am just as much human as any one of you. And you know what? That is okay. Even Paul has to say, when he's looking at all his credentials, he says, I would consider them all rubbish just to know Jesus a little bit more. How about you? When you know that, does that free you to be who God has called you to be? I hope it does in your ministry, because you're not here because somehow you deserve to be here. You're here because God in his grace has called you to this place. So be humble in that position. It's okay. Jesus calls the workers. Finally, the last truth then. Workers work together. Kind of hit this, but I'll just make it one more hit on this. Workers work together. Jesus even shows us this truth by sending his followers out. Notice he doesn't send 72 people out, right? That would maybe make more sense, right? You could get 72 more things done. No, he sends them out two by two in groupings together. Again, think of the value of this. Of being together as men in council, consistory, in your deacon meetings, as Christians, in all of these places. Think how valuable this is. You've got company. You know how life, how just lonely life gets when you're all by yourself? Get together with each other. Gather together. Much more efficient at doing the work of the Lord when you're together than all by yourself doing it. In another place, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it talks about how working together amplifies your gifts. Again, that the cord of many strands is not quickly broken. There's another one right there. Where one person can do so much, but two people working together can do even more than even two people working independently of each other can do their work. Three, it testifies to the truth of the gospel. If you remember Deuteronomy 19, it talks about how a matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. You can't convict or say anything without having two voices saying the same thing. Or as Jesus says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them, right? I gather together in the midst of them. It frees you to be more specific and effective. You think of the deacons in Acts chapter 6, when there are multiple deacons called out into the work of ministering to the widows of that church. It keeps you, again, together, honest, working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, again, I just read in my scripture or my devotionals from Proverbs 20:27, but iron sharpens iron. How much more you grow when you're together. Good stuff, right? Great stuff. So let me just kind of hit those points one more time. Again, what truths you're realizing here is that God's mission is not the work of one man. It's the work of all of us. Jesus has put us in the place where we're at for a specific reason. Elders, deacons, as Christians, moms. Again, it doesn't matter where it's at. The mission field is vast. There are not enough workers. Nevertheless, we pray and Jesus calls workers. Workers work together, not no lone mavericks. Again, we're working together. If I leave you anything, I'll leave you with this. When you look out at the harvest, I told you, don't miss this. If you remember anything from the sermon, this is one of the greatest promises that I keep keeping in my mind as a pastor again and again and again. Whenever I think of the community around and I want to despair sometimes, or when I look at the church and I think, oh, but this person is struggling with this and that person is struggling, to think to myself, wait a minute, Pastor, this is not about your church. And these are not your people. These are Jesus' people. And this is Jesus' church. And this is Jesus' field. And by God's grace, you get to be a part of that. And so I pray by God's grace, this wouldn't make you lazy, but make you excited and make you encouraged to say, okay, Lord, where would you want me to be? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve? Not only that I might glorify your name, but so that your church might be edified and that many more people might come to know your saving name as well. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you so much for this truth of Scripture that many of us read, and I pray that we would take to heart tonight. I thank you so much that this is your harvest field, that you are doing the work to prepare men and women for great things in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would indeed help us to realize how vast the work is, to not count off or to push aside people just because we think that they're long gone, but to remember that you've got a great work in store and in mind, and you're doing that great work. Please help us to be people of prayer as we pray that you would send out workers into this field as elders, deacons, pastors, missionaries, even faithful mothers and fathers into different areas of their life, workers and students. Help them all to find a place to serve you and to bring that harvest in. I pray that we would see that you do not call the qualified, Lord Jesus, but that indeed you qualify those whom you call. You make us what we are, and we are incredibly thankful for that. Help us to be good at working together then, to work together for this great mission, to join in hearts, in hands, in mind, in spirit to this great work that you've called us to. The time is short, for soon you will come back. You've promised that. And so help us to be faithful in this harvest field and to do the work set before us with hope in our eyes, with faith in our hearts, and with ready hands and steady arms to pull that harvest in. In Jesus' name, amen.